With Hashem's love and grace, we're back with Likutei Moharan, and we need a lot of divine help because it's very deep principles that Rabbi Nachman is bringing this week. A lot of it based on Kabbalah to make things eye level. Do my very, very best with Hashem's help. Oh, this is complete on prayer, preparing for this. That's what prepare comes from, the word prayer. That's it. That's the only way to prepare for Likutei Moharan. Because who could say that they could go to the depths of Rabbi Nachman's thoughts? That's impossible, impossible. So with Hashem's loving grace, we're in Torah 6. We're in part four, but we're going to go back. If you're following along, I sent a link for the Sefaria, Likutei Moharan in Hebrew and English. In Hebrew, it's Ot Dalet. This is letter four. I don't know what it says there in English, and as far as letter four. And I'm going to go back and review it because we're in the middle of letter four. Let me go back and get a principle. So in case someone didn't see last week's lesson, then we'll all be on the same level. Okay, so in Ot Dalet, Rabbi Nachman says, Shirotze Adam lalech bedarkei atshuva, tzirich liot baki b'alacha, that when a person wants to follow the path of penitence, the path of tshuva, we learned in our first two lessons that a person is not a person unless he's made tshuva, unless he's made penitence, because we explain that a human being is the only creature on earth that has the body of an animal and the soul of an angel. In fact, the body is lower, it's less effective than the body of an animal, because a man can't jump like a cat can, and he can't run like a gazelle can, and he can't fight like a tiger can. And he can't reach the top of the trees like the monkey can really quick. He can't do the things that an animal can. And you see an animal is born a couple hours after it's born, it's on its feet, not a baby, and it needs a lot of help. And the soul is higher than an angel, because we saw that angels, there were times, the Torah tells the times when the angels were sent down here in this world to do a messengership for Hashem. And they fouled up. They sinned. What do you mean they sinned? They didn't have any inclination. But they couldn't withstand the temptations that we do. So in other words, when a person does tshuva, person makes penitence, and a person strengthens himself or herself in the observance of the commandments of Torah, whether it's the seven Noahide commandments if you're Noahide, whether it's the 613 if you're Jewish, when a person does what he or she is supposed to do, then the soul becomes the leader, and the body becomes subservient to the soul. But when a person becomes subservient to the inclination, and he or she is bodily oriented, talking about bodily appetites, whether it's appetite for money, whether it's appetite for the opposite sex, whether it's an appetite for food, whatever the appetites are, whether it's appetite for honor, then the soul becomes famished by the body, and the body becomes a boss. So what happens is the body becomes lower than animal, because the divine soul is completely, it's all literally destroyed. It's completely shut down. It's paralyzed. Say the divine soul is paralyzed. Now you could get it, you could reactivate it, but the more it's paralyzed, the more difficult the tshuva is to reactivate it. Okay, so this is where Rabbi Nachman tells us, before tshuva, a person isn't even a person. A person means a person who has a body that is subservient to the soul. And the soul is active. The soul is all the time seeking Hashem. This is what's called a human being. This is what's called a person. Because if a person does not have, if a person goes against the Torah, Torah is the basic laws of mankind. Ten Commandments, basic laws of mankind. If a person robs and a person steals and a person lies and a person tramples on other people and a person doesn't have gratitude to his own parents and a person that, this is Hashem making your heart beat and Hashem making your eyes see, and a person doesn't have great basic gratitude to the Creator, it's not a personal. So where's the animal? Because Isaiah the prophet in chapter 1 of Isaiah says that even a donkey or an ox has gratitude to the Creator, to his master. They know who the master is. They see who the master is that puts the hay in the feed trough or that puts the corn in the food trough, and they appreciate it. So if a person doesn't have gratitude to Hashem, he is lower than a donkey and lower than an ox. And that's why the world looks like it is, because there's so many animals on two. Very many again. So Rabbi Nachman says that when we begin making tshuva,
We have to be aware of halacha, because if we don't, halacha is the law, the law of the Torah. If a person doesn't know the law of the Torah, then a person doesn't know what's right or what's wrong and what to do tshuva for. So in order to do tshuva, I use tshuva for repentance, but it's much, much better in Hebrew. Get used to saying, like, I don't say faith, I say emunah. I get used to saying tshuva. When a person, before a person does tshuva, a person becomes a human being. But he has to know what to do. Now, one of the things he says, Hainu baki beretzo, baki b'shov. What's Rabbi Nachman talking about? He's not talking about the dry halachas, do this and do that, do this and do that. Rabbi Nachman is talking about what we learned last week, that a person has to know the ups and downs of life. In other words, it's relatively easy to function when you're up, when everything is good, you're making a lot of money and you're healthy and you're charismatic and people like you. But what about when you're down? Hold it. It's not so easy. We have to know the ins and outs of being up, because many people, when they're up, they go away from Hashem. Why they go away from Hashem? Because they attribute the success to themselves and they become arrogant. So Hashem says that he and the arrogant human being, arrogant individual, can't be in the same universe. So that's a danger of being up. When a person is down, a person becomes humble. But the danger of being down is when a person becomes depressed and the evil inclination says Hashem doesn't like you, Hashem doesn't love you, then why you have the difficulties in your health and why you have the difficulties in your income and difficulties in your marriage. No, Hashem, everything Hashem does, axiomatic, everything Hashem does, he did, does, and will do everything. Everything comes from him. And everything Hashem does in your life, you're Hashem's cherished son or daughter. Hashem does no one but just you, and the proof is your thumbprint. Nobody's got your thumbprint. Hashem is showing you by way of your individual thumbprint, you, my daughter, you, my son, are my only child. Oh, but wait a second, Hashem, you've got another 6 billion. No, I've only got you. I've only got you. You're my only one. And to understand this, if you're the parent of 22 children, and heaven forbid, you should lose one of your children, are you going to be consoled? Oh, some stupid neighbor says, you've got another 21 kids. No. You're going to sit in mourning. You're going to cry your eyes out. It's nothing more painful than losing a child. Heaven forbid, a million times heaven forbid. So if we know how painful it is to lose a child, you think Hashem, the way he loves each one of us, off the charts. So if Hashem gives us tribulation, it's for one purpose only, to bring us closer to him. Now, this means that what Rabbi Nachman talks about being abreast and how to live your life when you're down. The most important thing living your life down, when the evil inclination is the little itty bitty nasty committee standing in your ears, Hashem doesn't love you and Hashem's not with you. That's all a lie. Hashem loves you more than you could ever imagine. And Hashem's doing everything in your life for the best. And Hashem just wants you to get closer. You have to understand one thing. This is spiritual Newton. Approach and avoidance. Every action, equal and opposite reaction. Hashem wants us to bring us up, but we can't go up all the time, constant up. It's just like the heart, all the time in expansion. If the heart was all the time in expansion, the body would explode. And there's no way to pump the blood through the body. The blood pumps through the body with the expansion and the contraction. And that's the blood pressure. The blood pressure, the diastolic blood pressure and the systolic blood pressure, that the pressure on the way to the veins and the pressure back into the heart. This is the way it works. The same thing with lungs. Lungs can't only inhale. If lungs would only inhale, we'd blow up. We inhale and we exhale. Everything, the way Hashem created the earth, created each one of us, is ups and downs, expansion and contraction. And Rabbi Nachman is teaching us this principle in serving Hashem, because the evil inclination, this is the nastiest enemy. When you're up, he's going to say, oh, you're great. You're so smart. You're so brilliant. A person today, let's see, he's an investor in the market. And today he went to the market. He won $10 million on the market. And he's walking around there. He tells his wife, he ordered a fancy restaurant. They're going, they're going to have a $800 meal in a fancy restaurant. Then he goes to work the next day and he loses $11 million. He's destroyed. Not only his gains from yesterday, they're off, but he lost another $1 million. And now he's so depressed. And this is a manic and depression. This is why people are crazy, because they don't have Shem in lives. King David, as we will soon see, King David tells us in Psalm 139 that were it not for Hashem, he would be bipolar. In Psalm 139, Hashem says, King David says to Hashem, Imasak Shemaim Shemata, when I'm up in the heavens, there you are. Imatzia Sheol, when I fall rock bottom, and we're talking about rock bottom below the level of the surface of the earth, down in the netherworld. When I fall all the way down, oh, there you are too, Hashem. So he sees Hashem when he's up, and he sees Hashem when he's down. This is what we need to learn, and this we're going to learn. Okay, so now this is what Rabbi Nachman tells us. We have to be abreast in how to live our lives when we're up and down. Rabbi Nachman calls it something else. In Aramaic, he says, in the words of the Kabbalah, Zaka manda al v'nafak. Happy is the person who goes in and goes out. What's goes in and go out? You go into the king's palace. And you go into the king's palace, and you see the king, and you see the king's light. But then you can't stay. You can't stay permanently in the king's palace. Okay, your time is up. So now you're sent out of the king's palace. Now what do you do in the king's palace? Fall into depression? Or you take the light of the king's palace with you, and you don't forget that those 15 minutes that you spent with the king. And now that you're happy when you're down, you get reinvited to the king's palace. This is in and out, up and down. We're in with the king, we're in the king, and out with the king. Now there's something very, very important what Rabbi Nachman is teaching us now. A person would think, you'd ask a person, when is it a better chance to get close to Hashem? When you're in the palace or in the outside? Well, everybody says, of course, in the palace, I can see it. The king, I'm right there. Exact opposite. When you're outside, when you're down, you're looking for Hashem. Where's Hashem? Where's Hashem? When you're inside the palace, you're not so fervently looking for Hashem. When you're so successful and you're making a lot of money and you feel great, and at the gym, everybody says, oh, you're so talented. Look at the great body you have, and look at your great abilities. And everybody's praising you for your body, your soul, and testimonial dinner for what you did for the community. And 1,000 people applauding for you, and you're up and then writing new articles about you in the newspaper. That's so dangerous. A person could say, hey, listen, heaven forbid, I'm so successful. And a person in the back of his mind, the agent says, you don't need Hashem. Heaven forbid. This we learned in Psalm 37, yet last night in a moon hour, what the evil say. Evil says, hey, you don't need Hashem. Forget about him. No, heaven forbid. What, are they going to forget about my heartbeat? Forget about my breathing? Forget about my eyesight? Forget every single brain impulse? It's all from Hashem. We certainly need Hashem. Okay, so now we continue on to the next paragraph. And Rabbi Nachman brings exactly what we said, what King David says. In Psalm 139, Imisak Shemaim Shamata, Prinat Ail, Prinat Baki Vatso, Imatzia Shol, Hineka Baki Nafet. So he says the inner secret of what King David was saying, that when he's really up, Imatzia Shol, Imisak Shemaim, I'm flying up in the sky, and there you are, Hashem. This King David was describing his time in the up mode, his time in the palace mode. Okay, and then he says, Imatzia Shol, Hineka. Now King David is describing his time in the down mode, and King David had plenty of time in the down mode. When we look at Psalms, when we learn Psalms intensely, as we do on Wednesday nights, we can see that King David is spending a lot more time in the down mode than he is in up mode. And the challenge is a lot more time. But what Hashem does, he takes him down so low and then brings him up to tremendous heights. But it doesn't leave him at those tremendous heights for a long time, because that is dangerous. It's dangerous to be at those tremendous heights, because at those tremendous heights, a person can become complacent. And complacency is the biggest danger in serving Hashem. When it's Hashem's my buddy. Hashem's right. Hashem's your buddy. Yeah, he's your father, but his father is the king. He's the king. And even the son of the king says, he doesn't say dad. He says, your majesty. He says, the Melitza Rebbe's kids, they don't call him Abba or Tati. They call him the Rebbe. they know that they have this reverence of their father. This is the tzaddikim. They call it all even more so Hashem. But we say it when we're in Bodud, private prayer, Tati in Himmel, my Father in heaven, Tati in Himmel. This is an endearing term. Okay, so King David is showing us that we have to know both sides of the fence. Now, Rabbi Nachman brings, now we're starting now the new territory. This brings us all up to date, and we're all in the ups and the downs and the ins and the outs. And we have, in a nutshell, last lesson and the first 2 weeks. So now in lesson four, Rabbi Nachman brings a passage from the Song of Songs. The passage from the Song of Songs, it is from chapter 6, verse 3. Ani le dodi vidodi li. I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. So there are so many secrets in this passage. This is the secret Rabbi Nachman teaches of the month of Elul. The month of Elul is the month of tshuva. By the way, the month of Adar is also the month of tshuva, because it's 6 months. It's the last month of the first 6 months, whereas Elul is the 6 month of the last 6 months, where Elul is the month of tshuva out of fear. The month of tshuva out of fear is to prepare us for Rosh Hashanah, and prepare us for Rosh Hashanah. And this is in Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev Rosh Hashanah, that Rosh Hashanah evening, a person is in such a height of spiritual, it's good spiritual tension, but fear and awe and reverence, that he's walk right into the palace. Walk right into the palace. I know of one very special soul, a young lady that left this earth on Rosh Hashanah Eve, in the afternoon right before Rosh Hashanah. This is, it's just a no-brainer that it's a walk right in, walk right in the palace. In other words, she attained a level where she couldn't be in her body anymore. People didn't know this. She knew it. Rabbi Nachman said, Rabbi Nachman virtually felt, if Rabbi Nachman had doctors like today, they'd put on his death certificate that he died of tuberculosis. Okay, but Rabbi Nachman didn't die of tuberculosis. Yes, he was coughing, and he was coughing blood, but Rabbi Nachman said, he said, my body cannot house my soul anymore. For me, it's not life if I don't go higher every day, if I don't get closer to Hashem every day. And if I can't closer to Hashem, then it's a soul death. It's a much better body death than a soul death, because the soul keeps climbing higher and higher and higher. This body's a jail. This body's jail. You don't go so high. But the soul, now it's free to go. It's free to go. So this is secret Elul, but Adar, and this is no happenstance that we're learning this now. This is all Hashem's divine direction. Adar is tshuva out of love. Tshuva out of love. Not tshuva out of fear, which is judgment day. Before Rosh Hashanah, that's judgment day. This is tshuva out of love. And this is what saved the Jewish people on Purim in the month of Adar. And this is the tomorrow, the Shabbat. Shabbat is the eve of the second Adar, the second month of Adar. And we're about 70 days away from Purim. And this was the whole miracle of Purim, was virtue of tshuva. Okay, so the Adar corresponds to Elul. And we're talking about Anila Dodiva Dodili. It's a secret of the month of Elul. So what does this mean? Rabbi Nachman says that Anila Dodi Zeprinat Ail, Vidodili Biprinat Nafak. And this is the secret. This is Sod Kavanat Elul. This is the secret of Elul. So what's Rabbi Nachman telling? I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. Who's the beloved? That's Hashem, divine presence. I am my beloved. I'm going up to Hashem. I'm going in the palace. This is up and in. And my beloved is mine. My beloved is coming down to me. So I'm outside the palace. He's coming down to me. This is the secret here. And this is an aspect of ascending, descending, going in and going out. Okay, so this is the hidden meditation of Elul. If we take the Hebrew letters of the first four letters of the passage, Ani Ledodi, Vidodi Li, it's Aleph, Lamed, Vav, Lamed, Elul. Okay, this right here, it's hinted in this passage that the acronym of Ani Ledodi, Vidodi Li, I'm beloved, my beloved is mine, is the month of Elul. So this is the secret of Elul. Okay, we now continue, and Rabbi Nachman brings a passage from Yeshayahu in chapter 58, verse 13, that Yeshayahu the prophet says, V'kibato me'aso dochecha, dochecha lashon rabim, haynu al v'nafak. Okay, we talk about when Yeshayahu the prophet is talking about how to properly respect the Sabbath. And he talks about properly respecting the Sabbath, that he said we should respect him, talking about Hashem, and or it the Shabbos, respect the Shabbos by our ways, the way we do things. The ways is plural. So Rabbi Nachman says that the plural of ways is talking about the way a person lives when he's up, the way a person lives when he's down, the way a person lives when he's in the palace, and the way a person lives when he's outside the palace. This is the plural of it. And that way, when a person knows how to live the ups and knows how to live the downs, then that person is truly capable of making authentic and sincere tshuva. And the authentic and sincere tshuva, like we said in lesson number two, when a person does tshuva on his earlier tshuva, a person could say, wait a second, I did tshuva a couple of years ago. I don't have to do tshuva anymore. Or maybe he did things recently. Okay, I'll do tshuva for the recent things. No, but when we make tshuva all the time, we're at a higher level than we were 2 years ago. Okay, I can tell for the people in this group, look down where you were 2.5 years ago and where you are now, completely different. You know, you see this. Maybe you don't see this yourself. I see this in the people in our group. So now you're on a higher level and you're much stronger in Amunah. You're much closer to Hashem. So that behooves making tshuva on your new higher level. So when you make tshuva on a higher level, this Rabbi Nachman says is what we learned in lesson one. This is divine glory. We learned that there's two types of glory. There's human glory and there's divine glory. That the human glory is like a person's rank in the army. This is his glory. Maybe the person has got a terrible personality, but he's got his rank. That's granted by flesh and blood, where a lot of people can they appeal that glory. They argue with that. Nobody can argue with human glory, with divine glory. Divine glory is the glory that Moses had, that King David had, that that the Baal Shem Tov had, that Rabbi Nachman had. This is the divine glory. Okay, so person, if a person argues with them, then you know they're playing on the other side. Okay, because this is the glory from Hashem. Can't argue with that. So this is what the prophet Isaiah says, that we honor the Shabbat by retaining from our routine ways. And this is the two ways we're referring to, that's plural. And that's the ups and downs, the ascending, the descending, the ins and the outs. So we can see everything is juxtaposed. There's a balance all the time. And this is the equilibrium of the body, maintaining the proper equilibrium between the ups and the downs. In other words, I'm not going to be arrogant when it's up because if I have success, I'll from Hashem. And I'm not going to be fall into depression when I'm down, because I'm down, that's from Hashem too. Okay, it's the same thing, the same person. I try the best I can. I pray to Hashem, help me succeed. It's all up to Hashem because He alone, this is our first principle of Emunah. And you live this, you internalize it in your heart. He alone, Hashem alone, did, does, and will do everything, then that keeps a person from being arrogant when he's up and depressed when he's down. So when Hashem sees that a person can get higher and can get closer without becoming arrogant, okay, right away, Hashem says, come, have some more. Have some more. Have another piece of pie. Have another piece of spiritual pie. Okay, but Hashem's happy to give it to you. Have it sweet till the cherries, the spiritual cherries run down your lips. Okay, of course, Hashem is happy to do this. But why does Hashem not give us more spiritual gain? Because you can see some people, they go and they flaunt how much they know and this and that. We don't know anything. The holy Arizal, the father of Kabbalah, he said, the epitome of knowledge is knowing that we know nothing. Rabbi Nachman quotes this all the time. Tachlit yida shelo nida klum. So when a person really knows that he or she doesn't know anything, they don't get in Hashem's way. And that's fine. They don't get Hashem's way. And Hashem has to argue with the person's own mental garbage, own intellectual garbage to try and get some light in there. Hashem said, not bother. Okay, you're the big man on the campus. You're the big brain. Okay, you be the big brain, but you're not going to learn my Torah. The only way to learn Torah is with humility. When a person, like we say at the end of Shemona Esrei, that a person makes himself like dust under people's feet. That my soul should be like dust under people's feet. And if a person gets insulted, Shem told the person insult me. So it's better than
financial loss. It's better than health. Much better piece of insult than the flu. Of course, that doesn't slow me down. Okay, but it's from Hashem. And that way a person lives on emotional even keel. This equilibrium where, yes, we want to get closer to Hashem, but we understand that with the up times, there's down times too. It has to be that way. The expansion and the contraction. And this is what Rabbi Nachman is teaching us. That's why Torah 6, even if it gets deep, but we stop it and think about them going slow in Torah 6, because this is probably the most important Torah in Likutei Moran for a person's emotional and mental health. If a person can follow Torah 6 and internalize Rabbi Nachman's teachings, he's never going to be bipolar. He's never going to be manic depressive. And that hit all the time, made an even emotional keel. And we can see that the body cannot stand this emotional roller coaster. You can't be being great up when you're up and being really depressed when you're down. And then go, oh, okay, there's ups and downs. And we know, and this is why we have to be boki ba'alocha. We have to be abreast in how to live our lives in the up mode and the down mode. So when a person has these two types of expertise, being able to live in the up mode and the down mode, this is walking the true path of repentance and walking this true path of tshuva. This is what makes a person earn divine glory. Why? Because a person says, Hashem, it's all yours. It's all divine. What Hashem says, oh, my son, my daughter, you don't have ego? Ego, what's ego? That's you, Hashem. Everything, my success is from you. And if I don't have success, it's also from you. Hashem says, okay, we'll see who gets success and who doesn't. You attribute everything to your Father in heaven. You attribute everything to your Father in heaven. Your Father in heaven, wait and see the gift he's going to give you. Baruch Hashem. And this gift is Kavod Elokim. This gift, it's an indescribable gift. And it manifests itself in so many ways. For example, you've never seen, Rabbi Nachman was not elected by a Democratic election. Rabbi Nachman didn't stand for the South Carolina primaries, the Republican Party. And neither did his great-grandfather, Baal Shem Tov, nor did Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who codified the Zohar, nor did the Arizal, the father of Kabbalah. It's all divine glory, all given from Hashem. And these are the type of leaders that we lack today. We lack a Moses. We lack an Abraham. We lack a King David. These are all our leaders. What was characteristic for our leaders, that they all had this divine glory. Okay, so we now continue on to letter A. Okay, we're in letter A. All right, everybody to be together in Likutei Moran and Likutei Haman in the Hebrew. I'll say it in Hebrew, then we'll translate it. Va'al yedei adbima v'ashtika nesa p'chinat chirik kemuva b'tikunim v'tachat gaglav kebas eliv nata safir do achirik do p'chinat v'aretz hadom raglav. Hadom ze p'chinat tbima, ze p'chinat ha'nekuda tachtona shatunat aleph. Okay, we're going to learn now some spiritual anatomy. And the spiritual anatomy we're about to learn is about the letter aleph. Okay, so I prepared a little chart here, and we'll be using it now. This is what the letter Aleph looks like. Okay, the letter Aleph. And now Rabbi Nachman is talking about this part of the Aleph. Okay, the heel, the bottom heel of the Aleph. We will see that the Aleph is really based. This Aleph has so many secrets in the Aleph. The Aleph has a Yud, which is a numerical value of 10, has another Yud, a top yud and a bottom yud, and it's connected with a vav. Okay, so the vav is 6, 10 and 10. Together they come 26. That is the numerical value of the ineffable name yud kei vav kei. And that's why Aleph, up here, he's pointing to his creator. And we'll soon get there. We'll get to there, but he's pointing to something we can understand. The top point is pointing to the keter. Now we're talking about the bottom point, where the bottom is pointing. Rabbi Nachman begins with our spiritual anatomy of the letter Aleph. I'm trying, Hashem, help me to keep this, which we should all understand it, including Laser. Okay, so we should all be able to understand this. Okay, well, let's go slowly. So Rabbi Nachman says, by means of quiet and silence, we say when a person is insulted and a person doesn't stand on his own glory, Okay, it's all Hashem's glory. Sorry, Tom. Let the person insult me and finish. Then what he does is he makes this chirik, that's the bottom point of the bottom foot of the aleph, okay, which indicates, we'll see what it indicates. And this is indicative of what Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai talks about in Tikkuni Zohar, the sapphire, big sapphire jewel, some call it sapphire brick, I call it sapphire jewel, that is under the heavenly throne. Imagine here the heavenly throne, and this creates a jewel under the heavenly throne. This gives vitality to the Ot Aleph. If this leg is not here, and this little Kerik, this little, what we call a spitz in Yiddish, this little point is not here, then the Aleph is not a kosher Aleph. It's got to be there. So this makes Aleph a kosher Aleph. And what is Aleph? Aleph in Hebrew is Alufo Shel Olam, champion of the world. Champion of the world, that's Hashem. Okay, so Aleph is indicative of Hashem, like we saw, that the parts of the Aleph come out to a numerical value of 26. So Rabbi Nachman says that when a person is quiet, dom, what is dom? Dom means silent in the face of verbal abuse. Then it brings on hadom, ha'aretz hadom, that this is footstool for Hashem. Okay, this is down here. This we'll see shortly that this is the horizon. This down here below the horizon, below the vav, this is the realm of the earth. But a person who is quiet in the face of verbal abuse makes this part of the aleph a footstool for Hashem. It's awesome. What you've done, you're bringing Hashem's feet, and I'm talking about this all metaphor because Hashem has no physical properties. You're bringing Hashem down to this world. You brought Hashem down to this world. You know why? Because you put your prestige completely aside and somebody insulted you and you said, okay, that's fine. That's it. But y'all came from Hashem. And what? You're worried about my glory? You're not worried about your own prestige? Well, okay. Now you become hadom laglav, become a person, Hashem's footstool. Why hadom? Because of his dom. Because of his dom, his silence, he becomes hadom. He becomes the footstool to Hashem's earth. This is what Rabbi Nachman is playing. Rabbi Nachman is playing on the nuances of these words. Rabbi Nachman said there's secrets in every one of these words. So now we continue on. Rabbi Nachman continues on to the upper thing. He says, the nekuda eliona shala aleph, zeprinat keter. Wow, so look at where we're going. The Aleph, it's expanding, it's transcending all the worlds. The bottom foot of the Aleph brings us down to this world, physical world. The Aleph, this is the upper world, the heavens, above the horizon, the heavens. And that upper point of the Aleph, that there are many religions in the laws, you have to understand that there's so many laws in writing the Aleph Beit. This is a proper kosher Aleph. Kosher for a Sefer Torah, kosher for tefillin, kosher for mezuzah. If that little point is not there, it's not kosher. It's not kosher a priori. Maybe it's a kosher a posteriori, but it's not considered nice ready. It has to be there. Why? Because that little point up there, that is indicative in Kabbalah of the Keter. That's where the Keter is. And right there, the Keter is at the tiny, tiny point. Top point of the Aleph, that's the Keter. And what he says is Keter. Keter begins with the letter Chaf, and Kavod, glory, begins with the letter Chaf. So the glory of Hashem takes a person to Keter. So a person can be down here, and a person is quiet in the face of verbal abuse. And why is he quiet? Because he believes in Hashem, and he holds by Hashem's glory and not his own glory. So by him down here being quiet, he gets the light of Keter. He transcends the whole thing. It's amazing, mind-boggling. Would a person would have to say, person just learned Kabbalah, but a person is proud of himself, and you can't insult a person because they'll insult you back. Person could learn Kabbalah for 500 years and not attain the spiritual level of a simple cobbler or a baker or a candlestick maker that one time would be insulted and say, okay, so what? I don't know if it's all Hashem's glory. Okay, I don't have glory. Every glory in my life, it's all Hashem's glory. The guy makes a meteoric rise all the way up to Keter.
and he gets the light of Keter. What happens when you get the light of Keter? You can't even feel it. Your soul feels it. When you get the light of Keter, then you get an aura of divine prestige, divine honor, because that's where it is. That's the source of the divine prestige, way up in the top sphere in Keter. And this is what Rabbi Nachman tells us. And above here, this is also where the heavenly throne takes up the heavenly throne. That's called the horizon. And this is what separates between the bottom realm of this earth and the upper realm. It's the body of the Aleph. And then bichnat kavod Elokim aster davar. And why don't we know anything about Keter? Because Keter is way, 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 way up high. Way up high in that realm. And we said, Kavod Elohim, that the divine prestige, it's concealed, it's hidden. Hastel davar. And that's why nobody is allowed to make an appeal, and it, like an appellate court, to say, why did this person get divine prestige? If someone says, why did Moses get divine prestige? Or why did Rabbi Ovadia Yosef or Rabbi Chaim Knievsky get divine prestige? They got divine prestige because they were tzaddikim. Because they were, their whole body was about, their whole life was about soul, about helping other people, nothing about themselves. So they got divine prestige. And this way we're not allowed to ask that. So the upper point of the Aleph is an aspect of the Keter, and it corresponds to the, above the firmament. Okay, I know I'm being repetitive, but I want to make sure that it be as clear as possible. And this is the Vav of the Aleph. Again, that's the firmament. And the bottom yud, which is this world, okay? So that's up to here, and we'll maybe refer back to our chart if we need it again. Vav shebetocha aleph u'rakia shamayim eshamayim. We said that vav, once again, here we go. Put me down too fast. The vav, this is up here, is shamayim. What's shamayim? Shamayim is the heavens. Shamayim comes from two words, esh and mayim. And Shemayim, Rabbi Nachman is telling us, but Rabbi Nachman is referring to a secret. Esh and Mayim are fire and water. Water is from the side of compassion, chesed, that's the right side. Fire is the side of gevurah, that's the left side. So then again, we have this merging of chesed and gevurah, this merging of stern judgment and divine compassion that comes Shemayim, Mayim and Esh, Shemayim. So yeah, the version that the sky is a mixture, it's a synthesis of right and left, stern judgment and compassion. Okay, this is so what happens here, and this is great, this is what we call tonight the face of the heavens. What a face of the heavens. What happens when you get embarrassed? Okay, even if you're quiet, you get embarrassed in front of 300 people, you're giving a speech in front of 300, 400, 500 people. You're maybe in the middle of synagogue on a high holiday, in front of 300, 400, 500 people. And somebody stands up and gives you a juicy, juicy insult. Or right then, ask for whatever you want. When you get insulted, if you can keep quiet, ask for whatever you want. I know of a person that had stage four. And somebody didn't know that stage four and said to that person, oh, you're all the time complaining. The person was making his grimacing. He just got off of chemo. And somebody, some really thoughtless, I don't like to use the word low life, but that's what it was. Somebody thoughtless embarrassed this person in public without knowing that the guy's a stage four patient. And he was quiet. He was quiet. And everybody said, people yelled at him, but the guy didn't say a word. And he said, Hashem, cure me. Boom. Miraculously, the oncologist don't know what happened to the guy. What happened to the guy? And of another situation where a woman was terribly embarrassed in front of her neighbors, in front of a bunch of magpies. And this woman was married for maybe a dozen years, didn't have kids. And she learned Torah 6. She was a student of Rabbi Nachman. And right then she said, Hashem, let me have a child. 10 months later, she became mother. This is the power, because this is divine, the power you can invoke anything, because it is so difficult. And Rabbi Nachman is telling us how it's difficult. What does fire and water correspond to? Fire and water corresponds to your face when you get embarrassed. When your face gets embarrassed, you're white, then you're red. What happens when you're white? When you're white, you get a flush of water, and then the red, that's fire inside, that chased the water away, get dried out, and all of a sudden you're dry in the throat, and your face changes. A person blushes and becomes pale and blushes and becomes pale. And this is when a person's face becomes colors. It changes colors. What changes colors? Look here at the sunset. Look at the colors. Look at the colors there. Look, we've got artists among us. Look, Dom, see where the colors come from. Okay, they change its colors. So this is the colors of the heaven. When your face changes colors because you're embarrassed and you succeed in being quiet like Rabbi Nachman tells you to, because you're going to be rewarded so much. And this shows that you care about divine glory and not your own glory. And your face changes from white to red. It looks just like that. Good. Thank you, Hashem. I didn't plan it that way, but look at our background. Thank you, Hashem. Then your face reflects, Rabbi Nachman says this right here. Your face reflects the aspect of the firmament and it colors all the colors, which means that the heavens are reflected from your face. Wow. We're going really high. We're really high cut there. Not a person, I've never seen this said about chesed or tiferet or even something where a person's really holy. And you saw it, personal holiness. This is something I've only heard Rabbi Nachman say about Keter, getting the light of Keter. We don't know anything about Keter. But to get the light of Keter, this is something so, so difficult because everybody cares about their prestige. And most people are up in arms. Okay, you want to fight? You get a fight. You want me to answer? I'll answer you. Embarrassing in front of people. So you hit me, I'm going to hit you twice as hard back. No. First thing, only thinks of Hashem. Who is capable of doing this? King David. King David, without going into it, King David had leprosy for 6 months. He closed his mouth. He could have killed a person that he could have put him to death right on the spot. That embarrassed him, and he was cured of his leprosy and restored to the monarchy. This was one of the times during when Avshalom wanted to overthrow his father. Okay, and King David had to flee Jerusalem. So this is the power. So now we say when a person becomes like that with that power, the person is worthy. This is really something. If Rabbi Nachman didn't say, can't see it. This a person is worthy of the title Adam, title of human being. And the human being, there are four images that Hashem has on his heavenly throne. And one of them is the image of the human being. So Rabbi Nachman teaches us that if a person is quiet in the face of verbal abuse because of his tshuva or her tshuva and because of their concern with divine glory and not their own prestige, not their own honor, then they are worthy of being an image on the heavenly throne. Mind-boggling. It's simply mind-boggling the level that by being knocked down so low, if a person sees Hashem, he could go up so very high. And this is where Rabbi Nachman says, Ze otiot Adam. This is how you become an Adam, because you take the Aleph that learn, and this is Keter up here, and this transcends the whole world, takes all day. You take the letter Aleph and add it to the word blood, which is your mammal soul, that's Dalet Mem, and you come Aleph Dalet Mem, Adam, you become a human being. This is the real human being. This is the real person that does tshuva. This is the real person that's close to Hashem. And a person is so close to Hashem because he or she doesn't even know they're close to Hashem. That's close to Hashem. Because people that think they're close to Hashem, they're far away. People say, Hashem, what do you bring me close to you? This person is very close, very close. So Rabbi Nachman says, V'nasa yedei Adam l'shevet ala kisei, k'mo shekatuv b'Yecheskel, v'dmut k'mar Adam milamala, kileit Adam b'lo aleph, v'ze otiot Adam, aleph dam, haynu yedei dom l'shem, nesa aleph, v'nesa Adam l'shevet ala kisei. In this way, a person becomes, excuse me, an Adam to sit on the throne. Adam is a human being. Adam, first human being. And we're all named in Hebrew, a human being is called an Adam. This is the name of a human being in Hebrew, Adam. Okay, so it's written in the chapter 1 of Ezekiel that there's a semblance on the throne, an image of a person on the throne, and a form resembling
on Hashem's holy throne, there's a form resembling an Adam. Okay, and so there can be no Adam without the letter Aleph, and a person cannot merit the Aleph without having an Aleph and Dam. This is once again corresponding to what we said in introduction. And this is also a deep secret that it's right in our faces and people don't understand it. Aleph, that's Alufo Shel Olam. That's pointing to Hashem. That's the divine soul. Dam, that's the blood. That's the animal body. All animals have blood. Okay, all mammals have blood. So if a person doesn't have the Aleph, a person remains the mammal. This is the secret right here. When we take the divine soul, which is the Aleph, and we combine it together with the blood, Dam, we become Adam. And until they're both combined, a person is not yet a human. What we said in our second part in Torah 6, that a person is not yet ready to exist. Because if a person hasn't made tshuva, he's not yet ready to become a human being. So as soon as we make tshuva, we become human beings. Continue on. Ki havav shebetocha aleph urakia. Rabbi Nachman reiterates. Rabbi Nachman makes, he says this again. He's a little bit repetitive, but it can't repeat it enough. Rabbi Natan, if we look at Likutei Halachot, Rabbi Natan is five times more repetitive than Rabbi Nachman to make sure we understand, to make sure we drive it through. So that's why I dare not go fast in Torah 6. When Rabbi Nachman himself goes slow and Rabbi Nachman, nothing goes slow, because once again, this is not only the secret of getting close to Hashem, this is the secret of becoming a human being, this is the secret of maintaining emotional and spiritual health. And in order for a psychotherapist to help somebody, that psychotherapist has to learn Likutei Moran. Rabbi Nachman was the greatest doctor of the soul that ever lived. But since his great-grandfather, Baal Shem Tov, and since the Arizal before him, and since Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai before him, and since Moses, these are the five souls that carry the baton of the soul of Moses. Okay, so he says, the Vav betocha Aleph u'Rakia, that the Vav, once again, the Vav that is within the Aleph, this is the horizon. You have above the horizon, which is the heavens, and below the horizon, which is the earth. Okay, a Vav betocha Aleph u'Rakia, klalus ha'gvanim, and this, as the horizon, it has all the colors of the palette, all the colors of the palette. And the heavens, all the, this is where the colors come from, comes from the heavens. Okay. Vanikuda atachtona, once again, anikuda atachtona, this indicates the bottom point of the Aleph, indicates silence. Silence in the face of verbal abuse. Silence. Okay. And this is indicative of what the prophet told us, the prophet Ezekiel said, under Hashem's feet, under Hashem's feet. Okay. Vanikuda aliona ze kisei de mikasia bechinat tshuva. And once again, the Nikuda, the top yud, that is the world of concealment, and that's tshuva. Because when a person does tshuva, person, what does Hashem do? Person makes tshuva. If a person doesn't make tshuva, Hashem will let their sins be publicized in the New York Times. They'll be discovered. There'll be scandals. When a person makes tshuva, Hashem says, you're confessing me. You're coming to me like tshuva. Hashem says, I'm going to conceal. Nobody's going to know about your sins. They're all going to be concealed. This is the world of concealment. Up here, especially at the Keter, with the Keter, it's all the world of concealment. It's called Kisei de Mitkasia. And this is an aspect of repentance, and it corresponds to divine glory, which is all concealed. And that's why the Gemara in Tractate Chagiga, it tells us, do not inquire in what's concealed. In other words, we're not supposed to ask, what's above the heavenly throne, or what's way below that? Things that make you crazy. They make you crazy, and the Gemara warns the people that have tried and thought about things where the human brain cannot fathom, cannot go, they become crazy. So this is a ambulance. You don't ask what's way up there in Keter and what's above the heavenly throne. We don't even go there. Okay, but we do know that when we refine ourselves and we bring ourselves to such a stage of humility where we're only concerned with divine glory, we're not concerned about our own prestige, it's all about Hashem. And the most delightful thing in the world is when we see Hashem's glory, Hashem being glorified in the world. And the most painful thing in the world is when we see, heaven forbid, defamation of Hashem's name. People think that they run the world and they deny Hashem. This is what hurts. It's not that some people, they would, you know, when they're glorified, they're happy. And when they're insulted, they're sad. But a person thinks about Hashem, and it's the same thing. Compliment me, insult me, it's all the same thing. Kiss me, hit me, it's all the same thing. It's all the same from Hashem. This came from Hashem, and this came from Hashem. This is King David's secret in Psalm 23. When King David says in Psalm 23, Shiftacha mishantacha hema nachmuni, he says, Hashem, whether you act to me like a punishing rod or like a staff, an old man, a walking stick, an old man's walking stick I can lean on. Okay, Hashem, if you act like a stick and sometimes you punish me with it and sometimes I lean on it, hema nachmuni, they both comfort me because all I need to know is that you're with me. In other words, for King David, it was the same whether he got hit, whether he got hugged, a hit and a hug, but just to know that they both come from Hashem. As long as I knew both come from Hashem. Okay, we continue on. Now, Rabbi Nachman goes even deeper into Kabbalah. This is something that it's a secret of marriage that we learn from Kabbalah. So if a person unifies the Aleph, okay, between his tshuva with the top yud and the Vav and the bottom yud have a whole nice whole Aleph, nice whole beautiful Aleph, nice whole beautiful Aleph. A person unifies that Aleph, then the person does something else. It causes something else. It causes a unification between the sun and the moon. Rabbi Nachman explains, Az nesa yichud ben chamal levona, shashemesh meir lelevona, v'nase yichud ben Moshe v'Yeshua. Bring you something, we'll get there right here. Kipnei Moshe kipnei chama v'do nekuda aliona, p'nat kisei p'nat Moshe, k'moshe katuv, ilim v'kiso, k'shemesh negdo p'nat mima'ala kia k'mud kisei. Wow, Rabbi Nachman is doing a sound and light show. Spirit, sound, and light show. He said, this is what happens. Now that we had that Aleph, I'm going to take you further and tell you the secret of the sun and the moon. What's the secret of the sun and the moon? The moon has no light of her own, and the sun has the light, and the sun shines light on the moon, correct? Okay, so now that we know the secret of the sun and the moon, we know the secret of a spiritual guide, a rabbi, and his pupil, because the pupil has no light of his own or her own, and the rabbi shines the light on them. And this is where does Rabbi Nachman learn this from? He learned this from the Gemara in Tractate Baba Basra, where the Gemara says, Pnei Moshe k'pnei chama, that the face of Moshe is like the face of the moon, the face of the sun, o pnei Yeshua k'pnei levana, and the face of Joshua is like the face of the moon. So he said, Moses was the teacher, he shined, Joshua had no light of his own, but because Joshua was such a good student that cared nothing about his own glory, only about his teacher and Hashem, that he deserved this illumination. So after Moses left the world, then Joshua became the light. But this is the relationship between a husband and a wife. For example, if you read the Bond of Emunah, our book about marriage, it talks about the sun and the moon. And people have difficulties in marriage. A guy comes to me and he says to me, oh, Rabbi, my needs aren't being fulfilled in this marriage. I say, my friend, you know why your needs aren't fulfilled? Because you think like a woman. And you can't have two women in the same kitchen. Okay, they'll argue. So if you want your needs to be fulfilled, it means that you want her to shine light on you. That's not her job. She's the moon. And her whole physical rhythm, everything is the moon, her whole monthly cycle, everything is all the moon. Same as the moon, sun, monthly cycle. And this is it. You can see a woman, if a person that looks at a woman's physiology, actually look at a woman's physiology and compare it to the moon and not believe that Hashem created the world. He created a woman just like he created the moon. He created a man just like he created the sun. And to see this, bring this up, a man influences. Do you know how the sex of a child is determined? A woman, she's only got two X chromosomes, and her egg's only got two X chromosomes. A man's seed has either an X or a Y. It's got X or Y. So if a man at the time of conception throws his wife a Y chromosome, and they have the union of the egg and the seed, and you get XY, then that's a baby boy. Okay. And if a man throws an X chromosome, then it's XX, and that's a baby girl. So we see even the man is the giver, The woman is the receiver.
See, all the time this way is gone. So in order for a person to have a successful marriage, has to know the secret that the son is the influencer and make demands to the wife. Sorry, buddy, you can't make any demands on your wife if you don't shine light on her. But if a man shines light on the sun shines light on the moon knows how to do great things with the light of the sun. I'll give you an example. Northern Canada. In Northern Canada, you can raise tomatoes in a greenhouse, but you can't raise watermelon and cantaloupes. Why? Because watermelon cantaloupes have to grow out in open field. In Northern Canada, they'd freeze. Why an open field? Because they grow by the light of the moon, which we see that the moon knows how to do great things with the light it gets from the sun. Okay, so we say as a result of all this, not only a person, you're doing great things in creation because of you're getting closer to Hashem. And this is what, again, Rabbi Nachman goes back to the Aleph, and he says that, again, the Aleph, that the upper Yud, that's Moses, and the bottom Yud is Joshua. Now, the teacher in the Aleph was the upper, the sun, and the moon. And it correspond to the sun and the moon, and right there. Okay, so now we say that the Vav, Vav Shebetocha Aleph Wa'akia, once again, Rabbi Nachman tells us this for the third or fourth time, that the Vav in the middle, this is the firmament, Pinat the oil, but to get something new. This is like a tent, the firmament of the tent. And the Torah tells about Joshua. Joshua did not budge from the tent. In other words, Joshua was always knocking on his teacher's door. That even though Moses is the upper Yud, Joshua is the lower Yud, and the Vav is the tent, the firmament, Joshua was always holding on there, waiting for every word he could. And that's what is it? King David says in Psalm 104, V'yimtachem ka'oil l'shevet, that no teshamayim ka'iriyah, that Hashem makes the firmament like a tent. And Isaiah the prophet says the same thing, V'yimtachem ka'oil, that Hashem stretches the heavens like as if they were a canvas or a canvas tent. Okay. So this is the Vav in the middle of the Aleph, is the firmament, and that's what we meant. We said that Yeshua did not budge from the tent. So yeah, Kisei Elyon, continuing on, Hainu anekuda elyona nechleka l'shlosha tipim, ki tshuva tzrich shlosha tnaim, kmo shekatuv, pen yirav einav, anav nishma. So we say that Rabbi Nachman is telling us that tshuva has to have three conditions. Tshuva has to be with a person's eyes, and a person's ears, and understood in the heart. And when these three aspects are fulfilled, a person also attains full tshuva. Ve'ele shosh prinot em nekudat segol. Why these three things? Now we've never even asked to teach something else. There is the vowels, aleph, and all the other letters are consonants, and they're vowels, like the vowels that the underneath the letter gives the intonation of the letter. And these three aspects of tshuva make the vowel called segol. It's in Hebrew, three dots. And these three dots, we say, this is a secret of the countenance of Moses. We're going to hold on there. It's a lot to digest. But next week, we're going to continue on with the next letter in Ot Vav. Okay, so this is an Aleph, just to review briefly what we learned, that by being silent in the face of verbal abuse, and yes, we're so embarrassed that our faces change colors, but our faces change colors. It's not just our faces, colors are becoming white and red and brown and blue and green. Our face becomes like the heavens. At the time a person is silent in the face of verbal abuse, he's reflecting the heavens because he's attained such a level he can't even understand. He doesn't know where he is, but he's attained the level of Keter, the crown, and there is the home of divine glory. And Hashem gives a kiss on the forehead, divine glory. And once you get that kiss of divine glory, you could see heaven in a person's face. Bezrat Hashem, we look forward to seeing everyone next week.